You're watching Meet the Movie Press, and coming up, we're going to be talking about Captain Marvel, Deathstroke, Justice League tracking, and unfortunately, Harvey Weinstein. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
Good morning, Simon.
Hello. I remember you.
Cheerio,
nice
big guy.
Nice to have you back.
How are you?
I'm very good. I've missed you.
And Justin, you good this morning, buddy?
I'm good. How are you feeling?
I'm all right. I'm hanging in there for a Friday.
Holy fuck, it's Cross on the show.
Yeah. You guys are watching Meet the Movie Press. I am Jeff Snyder, editor-in-chief of the Tracking Board, tracking-board.com, and with me, as always, is...
Hello, I'm Simon Thompson. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at ShowbizSimon. You can see my work lots of places. And I've got a Facebook page. This is Simon Thompson.
And with us today is a special guest. You know him before. He's been
recurring
here.
Recurring guest.
Justin Brill from Variety.
Got your own arc.
Get the recurring art in there.
Working with good
we'll
folks.
We'll write it in right there.
Like a little
featuring or with.
Yeah. You can find him on Twitter at KrollJVar. So yeah, I have been gone for 3 weeks. The biggest fan of this show, the show's number one fan, passed away, my mother. So that, you know, it's been tough, but you guys were both very thoughtful and supportive, so thank you. As were a lot of the fans of the show, really. I got a lot of messages on Facebook and on Twitter, and it was really overwhelming, so thank everybody watching.
It was our pleasure. She was really awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And so we are going to dive into a bunch of news shortly, but I did want to monologue for a little bit because the industry, the town that I have returned to, is forever changed, really. About 3 days after I went home in early October, the Harvey Weinstein bombshell hit. And it hit me hard for a couple of reasons. You know, I started out writing for Ain't It Cool, and I was Mira Jeff. That was my name. After Mira Max, I loved the Weinstein brothers. I admire them, as many people in this town did. Wrote a play about Bob Weinstein when I was in college. But the article that came out did not come as a surprise. Did it come as a surprise to you guys? Or like, had you heard the whispers, Krill, being in your position at Variety?
No. Okay. Everybody, it's such a... That over the last couple of weeks, I'll get on the phone and be like, oh, but I'm not surprised. Okay, but you still put people in movies. You still were doing business. Like, I was growing tired of that act because, in all honesty, I've never been in a room with Harvey when he's with women. I've never seen him on a set. So, like, because he was a slob and, like, this big intimidating monster, you know, verbally to people and a bully in a way, don't throw that in there. There's plenty of people that are around that industry, and I wouldn't throw those allegations out there.
Exactly. There's a lot of people who are bullies or intimidating.
Yeah. But it's not like, you know, this came out about Hugh Jackman or something like that. Like, when it came out, it was like, okay, this is all kind of makes sense now.
So I wanted to, and I'm going to make this as short as possible so we can move on to the good stuff. Because I don't want to hog the mic here, but, you know, my experience with this story goes back 3 years. I was on the story 3 years ago. 3 years ago, Gavin Pallone, the producer of Curb Your Enthusiasm, wrote a column for The Hollywood Reporter, and in it he alluded to a studio mogul and rumors and all that kind of stuff, and he kind of called out journalists, and he seemed to issue a challenge saying, you know, the reason that this hasn't been reported is that no journalist has the balls to publish. So I like a challenge. And I don't reveal sources, but I think Gavin's okay with this one. So I called Gavin, and I said, hey, man, you may not know me from a hole in the wall, but I'd like to think I've got some balls in this town. Who are you talking about? And he told me, you know, it was Harvey Weinstein. So I went to my boss at the time, Sharon Waxman, the editor-in-chief of The Wrap, and she said, come on in and shut the door. And she told me that she had been on the story for the last 10 years and that she had basically tried to get it published at the New York Times back in, like, 2004 and that, you know, a heavily edited story had run. She basically said that the New York Times had gutted her story, which was largely about Fabrizio Lombardo, the Miramax Italy executive. But she knew about that Harvey had settled for sexual harassment, as did the New York Times. So all the stuff, you know, while the New York Times, you know, they did an amazing job, Jody Kantor and Megan Toohey, I do feel like, you know, as an institution, the New York Times has known this for more than a decade.
That's,
you know?
keep going.
Yeah.
I have my thoughts on,
yeah,
like
Sharon's old editor was like throwing shade at her to, you know, like, well, why, you know, Sharon's run her own site and how come she hasn't published anything? It's like, it was tough back then, not only because the dam hadn't broken, it was a different atmosphere, obviously, totally, in terms of the sexual harassment stuff, but the rap was not the New York Times. Like, when you're a journalist from the New York Times and you go to these women, you know, right, you make them feel a lot safer. Even me as a guy going to a woman, asking a woman to go on the record for the rap.
I have my own monologue to go, but yeah, keep going.
I want to hear all that. I'm going to try to speed up, but it's like, the New York Times, those editors had to eat at the same New York restaurants as Harvey Weinstein. Yep. They accepted that those advertising dollars for the last 13 years. So the whole thing, you know, where Dean Baquette is saying, well, I can't imagine anyone in the building knew about this. It's like, you know what, dude? You need a better imagination.
Yeah.
Sharon, I have every reason to be biased against Sharon, but Sharon's story has not changed in the past 3 years, and I really thought that the New York Times did her dirty. Like, when I read the New York Times piece about her, my hand shot to my mouth. I really felt like they had thrown her under the bus. I can't say whether her story was gutted or not, because I didn't read that initial story in 2004. I was just a kid in college, but that's how she felt. Now, you have all these, you know, pieces. Well, did Matt Damon know? And did all these people know? Did they try to kill the piece? I don't think it was like that. I'm not really interested in that game of who knew what and when.
That was the story that overshadowed a lot of other elements.
Right.
Because Matt Damon's a sexy name, and Sharon's boss isn't.
Right.
So Matt has to go to Deadline and talk about, why isn't the New York Times person at the time doing that interview with Mike?
His name gets dragged through the mud. It's really, you know, Matt Damon seemed like he called her to say, you know, this Fabrizio guy is actually, you know, he did some work. He wasn't like calling to kill a Harvey Weinstein sexual, you know, harassment allegation.
We weren't on the phone, so I don't know.
Exactly. You know, there's a lot to unpack here. The Bob Weinstein element of it. Did he out his brother? Did, you know, because the New York Times got handed a whole bunch of internal documents, right, Simon?
Yeah.
You know, emails, personnel files. Mm-hmm. That had to come from somebody inside the company really high up. The suggestion that Bob Weinstein, you know, has been in his big brother shadow, right? For 30
literally
years, and then waited for the very moment when he's most vulnerable, when the movies aren't making that much money, when he's okay, not winning the Oscars, like, that's Shakespearean, if that's true.
It's true.
It's a classic Hollywood story. It's a classic Hollywood story.
There's a whole bunch of... I mean, you know, David Glasser's been dragged into this. I don't know why David Glasser is still there. I find David Glasser to be a very smart, capable executive. He's no angel himself. He is a bit of a past. But, like, he should be running for the hills. He can get another job somewhere else in Hollywood. I just don't know why he's, you know, tying himself to that company in the hopes of maybe running it. There's a whole... I mean, go ahead. Okay. Cut me off for a second, because I want to get my thoughts here.
Yeah, so I have... there are elements to this whole... It's just been pounding the pavement the last couple weeks, and it's driving me nuts. And, like, it was nice to get back to, like, regular... Like, it's kind of calmed a little, but not really. But the couple things that have drove me nuts, that goes to this thing with the whole... The New York Times, like, you know, Josh Dickey, we worked for him, love him, all that stuff, mm-hmm. Love him or hate him. That whole, like, when he tweeted about, like, the trades are this and in his pockets, I'm like, the fucking Times are, they were doing this shit in their backyard. Like, I know they broke it, but he was doing it 20 years ago. Like, the LA Times, too. Like, it was, this is an encompassing thing. This isn't just, like, Variety and THR and then Deadline. Like, I that drove me bananas. And I got to be a little honest, I was getting a little tired of, like, when this all broke, when, like, nothing, I'm sure Sharon had a gripe, but when every reporter was like, I was on this too,
right,
it's like, shut the fuck up for a second. You're not the story at all.
Right.
Don't try to be it. And the other thing that was driving me nuts are so many of these statements came off as, like, covering my ass. The
right.
only statements I, mm-hmm. the two statements I wanted to hear were Quentin Tarantino, because he's worked every fucking movie with
right.
him. And to be honest, this is a weird one, Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
She is. That's the new. To me, it's not just a movie scene. It's the New York socialite scene. Like, Donald Trump was asked, like, he's like, I've known Harmy, and it's not surprising. That might be the most truthful thing that Donald Trump has ever said in the last, like, 24 months. Because I actually was like, you know what? He's probably right. Other than that, like, fucking Jennifer Lawrence coming out. I didn't need to hear her fucking statement.
Yeah, like, everyone in Hollywood felt like they needed to be on the record for this, and I understand that
we all know this stuff is bad.
You want to condemn. But like Simon, the media, like that aspect of it, that yeah. Two non-industry publications, really, the Times and the New Yorker, were mm-hmm. both chasing this story within the same month.
It was a weird
month.
Thing.
Like, where was like Brooks Barnes on this? You know, at the Times. I don't know. There's a lot there. And then as far as like what is going to happen, I think that you're going to see a lot more women in positions of power. You know, yep. like Amazon with Roy Price.
Well,
Roy Price, if
we can just talk about women for a second, mm-hmm. someone who's taken a lot of shit over this, and I'm not going to, you know, support anybody, but a lot of people like Meryl Streep. She used to say a lot of really good things about Harvey Weinstein. She must have known,
right?
Yeah. I'm okay now. Like you and I, you know, we all hear things. You can't just, you have to have something to back up an allegation.
Right.
And when people abuse people, they don't do them in front of people that would call them out. So if Harvey Weinstein was to do something that he was accused of, he's not about to do it in front of Meryl Streep, because Meryl Streep will go, what the fuck are you doing? As would most people, to be honest with you, in the industry. The people that take advantage in the industry are in the minority, but they're a powerful minority. And so when people say, oh, they must have known, that you can't say they must have known. We don't know if they knew right, or if they didn't.
That's why I'm not interested
if they weren't in the room.
Yeah, it's like, who knows? I don't work, like I said, I have no idea. Like, I will say the aftermath of what happened with these women. Sorry, if I'm not speaking this thing. The aftermath that was happening with these women, maybe it gets to, like, Meryl hears that this happened to Rose, or, like, George hears that. Like, that could have been a possibility. But I find that, like, I don't want to get into that part. But, yeah, I mean, Meryl was one of the first people to release those
statements.
There's
also people, I mean, we got someone in the chat now who's saying, you know, all the girls saying they're victims now is suspect, because why didn't they come out early and wait?
Oh, like, that's crazy. Well, they don't understand guilt and shame.
Exactly. That's, and also, you don't understand
ridiculous.
Taking on somebody who is someone who owns the town.
So let's look a year ahead, though. This is what I see happen. I see more women in positions of power, like with Roy Price, Amazon wanted to hire a woman.
100%.
But I also see fewer women actually in the industry. This is what I think is going to happen. I think that men are going to close ranks, and they're not going to be hiring female assistants. I think that men are going to protect themselves, and they're not going to risk putting themselves in a situation where they have a cute 20-year-old blonde assistant.
Yeah.
And I think so. I think that that is something negative that could actually come out of this.
I think you're right.
And that's honestly just basic psychology, that men are going to avoid the temptation altogether. Like I said, you're going to see more women calling the shots, but it's going to be tougher for them to get in at the lower levels to climb that ladder, because I think that there's going to be fewer female assistants.
I haven't thought of that take yet. That makes 100%
sense. There's a whole bunch of takes that no one seems to be focused on.
Even years before this, I would always, when I was a manager, I would always make sure that if I was having a meeting with a woman or an intern or a work experience girl or boy, to be honest with you, mm-hmm. you know, male or female, I would never be in a room alone with them. Not because I'm some kind of sex pest, but because if you are in a room,
but you don't know what their intentions are either, and that way you can.
Yeah.
It's kind of.
I had a.
It's a valid point.
The HR department, I think, at the Weinstein Company is coming under fire, just like at Defy Media with the Screen Junkies thing. Mm-hmm. And the way that HR is handling some of these situations, I wasn't happy with how Mashable handed my thing. At least Harvey Weinstein and some of these guys are getting benefits of investigation. Okay.
HR,
I didn't even get a conversation.
HR departments are never there for the employee. They're there for the company.
Right.
That's what their role is.
What's interesting is you mentioned when you started your whole monologue, Ain't Cool News.
Right.
The tip prior to this coming out, the tip of the iceberg was the
Devin and Harry, yeah.
The Harry, the Cinephile, like those like smaller things, but it was like this boys club community that kind of, if you think about it, starts from like who they see in front of them. And Harvey had this kind of persona that it's and now you're hearing all this stuff of it, like, you know, the Fox News stuff was a while ago, obviously, but now the NBC
the Murdochs didn't care. They knew that they had bad guy on their hands, but he brought in a rating, so they fucking re-upped his contract.
Bad guys.
You know who else I couldn't stand in all of this over the last 3 weeks is Lisa Bloom. She just came off like a trash human to me.
Yeah, I couldn't. agree with you more.
Yeah, I just... And the report yesterday from the Daily Beast that she was basically shopping information about Rose McGowan's sexual history in an attempt to discredit her. I mean,
God. I'll be honest with you. You could literally walk down Hollywood Boulevard completely stark naked. That gives absolutely no one the right to touch you or do anything to
you. Good point, Simon.
No, you could be throwing yourselves at someone. That doesn't give anybody the right to do it.
So we're gonna wrap up with this topic. What do you guys think happens to the Weinstein Company going forward? Because they have 7 films in the can: Paddington 2, mm-hmm. War with Grandpa with Robert De Niro, The Current War, which was supposed to come out at the end of the year and they pushed, Polaroid, the dimension horror movie, The Upside, the remake of The Untouchables with Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston, Mary Magdalene with Rooney and Joaquin, and Hotel Mumbai with Dev Patel. So that's 7 films. Paddington 2 feels like it's going to, you know, be a moneymaker. That seems like a hit that they can count on.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that the Weinstein... they can't go on with the name.
The Weinstein brand is dead.
The name is dead. The legacy is forever tarnished. Yeah. Does the company move forward under Glasser and potentially Bob Weinstein? No. It sounds like the board wants Bob out. Do they just sell off the company piecemeal? What happens?
I mean, I've already heard that all these movies could move. All those movies.
All of them find
a different home. The ones that are finished. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did a story that they don't really... And this was in... I wanted to bring this up quickly. Is like the timing of this all. Like, could this... I don't think this could have happened. When these films were making money and helping people's careers, yep. I hate to say that, but they're against the ropes a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. and they're an acquisition type thing, and with Netflix and Amazon and Annapurna and A24 now,
they're getting squeezed out of their own territory.
Their people are overpaying where they can't anymore. Mm-hmm. So they just don't, and they don't develop movies like that. They rarely do. So it was the time. So I just see most of these films picking up and walking. I think in a lot of situations they're like co-financing with a lot of these things, so the other financier just is like later. We'll see. I think those couple Dimension films come out next month. I just don't see how they would be able to do it. But like Current War, Mary Magdalene, and The Upside, I feel like are...
This had to happen, this moment in Hollywood, and I think Hollywood will be a better place for it going forward.
Yeah,
but it's sad. It's sad what happened to these women. It's sad how Harvey's career is ending for someone who, you know, he had great taste. He made a lot of great movies.
He did.
He made a lot of big careers.
You can't deny that.
I don't feel bad for Hardy. It is sad that the industry is losing... someone that was making other things than tentpole movies. From a professional standpoint, mm-hmm. he was trying to deliver films that were not original ideas that the filmmakers wanted to make more. So that is a shame in a way.
I wish I had been able to do more. I was not as talented or trained as an investigative reporter 3 years ago.
Jeff, I'm going to say the obvious. You're a guy, too. The big thing with this is making women feel comfortable to talk.
Yeah, exactly.
When Cynthia Littleton got the... It was Cynthia who did the Bob Weinstein part of it from that producer on the Mist, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, our colleague Rachel Abrams.
Props to her. I wanted to give her a shout-out. So we love Rachel.
She was in a contributing line and has had some stories. So I will say that, like, when you're trying to talk to these women, and it whether it be on the phone or in person, they don't know if they can trust you because they already don't have trust in strange men in general. So that's where I don't totally put the blame on you.
Hopefully this industry can move forward and you know, now the conversation, we can have it out in the open. And all right. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, let's talk about some of Kroll's scoops this week. Let's start with Captain Marvel. Ben Mendelsohn is going to be the villain. Who are we looking at? How did this come about? Give us the scoop.
I mean, it just kind of came. It was really quick. No, like, tracking for weeks. It was one of those rare, like...
Mississippi, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, it makes sense. Mississippi Grind, they worked on with the Anna and Ryan. He's obviously... He actually plays a good guy. We saw him last night, and he was actually... He didn't look like a scumbag in Darkest Hour. But Ben's a great villain. He was supposed to be Pennywise, as we had heard, was their choice, but chose to do Rogue One instead. Even an anti-hero type, like Place Beyond the Pines or...
He's in Ready Player One, too, isn't
Ready
he?
Player One, he's got...
Simon, are you worried that Ben Mendelsohn, we're seeing too... He's in too many big movies as the villain.
But Gary Oldman.
Do you know what? I don't think so, because even though he's a very well-known actor, and again, you know, I use sort of our bubble as an example and then normal people outside that, I think currently he's very well-known amongst us. I think he's not a household name yet. So I think we haven't reached that tipping point where he starts to be overused.
He's getting close. He's got a real close.
He's a film or two away.
He's got an interesting
look.
This
would change that.
Where I feel like, yeah, this is absolute. Well, the problem is I... pretty sure he's going to be like almost in makeup or like some kind of like, I don't know if this film will tell change that, makes that. Sense. But yeah, I think,
but if I think you went to sort of go to any bar sort of outside sort of LA, you know, in the US,
oh, sure.
and you show them a picture of Ben Mendelsohn,
and you
say, who's that?
Like,
they wouldn't
friends
name him.
In Detroit, who's Ben Mendelsohn? They're like,
yeah,
at Netflix, too.
I was going to say, they probably know him as the guy from Bloodline.
I will say, with Ben. At first, I was like, oh, another villain role? And I was like, oh, yeah. Mississippi Grind. Like, it was almost he did that for the guys. Mm-hmm. That they were like, you'd be great as this. Let's go. But, you know, I don't mean to be a dick, but I was like, maybe I should let somebody else win since I did break this
broke
one.
The directors and Brie Larson. This guy's been all over Captain Marvel.
But I like it. And this film, I feel like, is, again, making a nice play. It's making good choices on where it's going. So
and it is going to be, from the villain argument, I think it is going to be a different kind of performance. I think this will be more sort of pantomime-y. This, you know, kind of, you know.
My issue with comic book movies in general, outside of the Batman franchise, is that they have a villain problem. Like, these villains are never like where you hate them, where you're just like rooting against them in a way. Like, that was the reason I didn't like Civil War, because Daniel Brühl was the lamest fucking villain on the planet. I will say Thor, the reason I've liked that so much
Kate
is
Blanchett,
that Kate
right? They have a big, strong villain.
She was great in that, and there was other people in there with villain.
Oh, did you see it?
I did.
Did you see it, Simon? Thor?
Yeah.
Do you guys, can you tell? You can talk about it.
Well, yeah, I can talk about it. Yeah, the review's been out for a
while. Did you both really like it?
Yeah,
or like,
I loved it. I thought it was really, really good.
It was awesome.
Yeah,
I'd say it's...
Okay. I've seen a few negative ones, and I'm very surprised by those.
Ant-Man, this two, Winter Soldier 3 for me.
Yeah. Really? Wow. Okay.
I'd so probably say Civil War number 3, then Winter Soldier for me, but otherwise on the top.
But it's up there.
Yeah, for me it is. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
And the Thor movies were never in my mind.
Right.
Those were the bottom of the barrel.
NC Thor it's 2 in theaters is the only Marvel movie I didn't.
This is why Taika is getting so many stuff right now. It's just because he really does turn it into it's not the usual Marvel film.
Does his own
film.
Thing with it.
But it's also there's all the elements. There's the action, there's the comedy, and there's the lore, the comic book lore, and all of them are handled really ably and equally, and with, you know, it's not one is at the expense of another.
How's
they
Tessa?
All sit together.
She's really good. She's great, actually. I'd say they're all good. They all look like they're having fun. Like, even Kate is, and she's very witty at times. Like, her humor is I enjoyed it. It was like, you thought when Kate was coming out, it was going to be, like, cold and like, not this, like, Blue Jasmine, I guess, is where there's a little more, like, while she's evil, there's a lightness to it, too. So I liked it. You want to segue to tracking?
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, so there's no villain problem in Thor Ragnarok, but it seems like there is one in Justice League with Steppenwolf. I don't know who this guy is, what he does.
These DC movies in general,
and maybe that is why Justice League. I mean, if you're going to bring together the Avengers of the DC universe for the Justice League, give them a real threat to face. So what is this? So tracking is at around 110, 120. It could probably go up.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I mean,
it's not great, is it?
That's $25 million less than Suicide Squad. That's $40 million less than Batman Superman. This is Justice League. This is Batman's. This is all like Wonder Woman just is the number one with the biggest domestic. Oh, Beauty and the Beast, and then Wonder Woman. They've been putting her gal more front and center, but still people are like people have heard the stories. We reported me and Brent Lang reported back in June about those reshoots and like how rough they were. And it sounds, and you're right. I don't think the villain, like, no one even knows what the fuck the villain is. Like, they're just showing
the Avengers
group.
Didn't have a great villain, right? The Chitauri, is that what villain is in the Avengers?
The first Avengers had Loki, and that was a good villain in my mind. Right. The Ultron sucked. Yeah.
Simon, what did you think of that Mr. Box Office? Like, what's your take on the Justice League tracking?
I mean, I didn't, to be honest with you, I didn't expect it to be much more than that at this stage, because I think there are people who are very excited about the movie, and I think outside of that, there are a lot of people who aren't particularly excited about it. I think you've got a couple of characters that people know and already have an affiliation with. I don't see people getting generally particularly excited about Aquaman outside of the fan base. Cyborg as well. And I think the fact they've drafted Superman in as part of the press tour, they're just trying to get regular people excited about this and give it some kind of familiarity. Because it just doesn't...
Superman's part of the Justice League. Yeah,
he is, but he hasn't been sort of previously. Right. It was like Batman. Well, it's supposed it was to be Wonder Woman. It was,
they're
it's
playing like such so a dumb. Weird game yeah, with Superman. Sort of, I don't even understand what marketing like, is doing.
Yeah, well,
with him.
We know we initially when you look at the initial posters,
you can save the you know with yeah. the Superman logo too.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, and then they go, "Hey, Henry Cavill's in it."
And then there's a report that he shot with his mustache. He's obviously in the movie.
Right.
It's. I mean, I don't get. I'm not getting the buzz. I mean, I'm very intrigued to see it. I'm quite looking forward to it. I always am with this kind of thing. I'm going in there with a very open mind.
Yes, me too.
I enjoyed Suicide Squad more than you did, and I really was not expecting much from that. You hated it. I'm going to go into this with a very open mind. I really, and after Wonder Woman especially, I want to see DC and Warner really deliver something good. I just don't think this is going to be it.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Because you always... You're like, if you hear a movie's bad, why would you go see it? And blah, yes. blah, blah. You pull that bullshit line all the time. Yeah. But I know you go see things for the water cooler talk. If you hear this movie's bad, are you going to see it?
Yes. I mean, you still have to see. Yeah,
of course.
Because it's just.
But you ask all the time why people see movies
that
they hear
like
bad.
Something like King Arthur. I don't know. Like, I don't know why somebody goes to see King Arthur. King Arthur looked like garbage. I'm not going to.
Doesn't look great. Like
it doesn't, but it's Justice League, so you have to.
The water cooler talk.
He can't afford it.
You're
on this show all the time dropping the water.
It's true.
Why would you see that movie?
You can't miss the conversation on Justice League. It's too big.
He's admitting it now.
There's a lot of bad movies that critics and people go see, and it's like, why bother?
I don't know if I will see it if it doesn't sound good. I'll go see one of the, like Thank You for My Service or something like that or whatever.
Which I need to see.
There was one thing I wanted to say. The reason why I thought the tracking would be better is because Umberto came out and was like, I heard the tracking is great. And then other people were saying the same thing. Tracking is bullshit.
Tracking's also like when they did screenings for Justice League about 2 months ago, and they obviously did it for people who are fundamentally fans of DC and fans of Justice League, and everyone came out and was like, oh my God, the first reactions are amazing. It's like, well, yeah, but if you put someone who's a fan of something in a room to watch a movie months before it comes out,
Everybody's excited.
Everybody's going to be really excited about it.
I heard the test screenings in like... I remember the night I was out at Goal with Umberto and a bunch of guys watching like the Giants Lions or something like that because he's a fair-weather New York fan. even though they both suck this year. I heard the test screens were like really bad, like 40%.
Oh, wow.
Like it was like... That's like... You know all those test screens? Like they try to like...
100% for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Not a single problem. It's the most perfect movie ever.
But yeah, that's why I'm like... I don't know. It's been weird, but we'll see.
Trying to keep an open mind too. There's just so much of that. You know, is this a Joss movie or is this a Zach movie? It's like
We never go into movies wanting them to be shit,
right?
No.
You know, we go in there and we don't want to go, I would love to waste 2 hours of my time.
We were all pumped for Batman Superman. I was like, oh, this would be great. I will say, like, I know a bunch of people with, like, kids, like, between 8 and 14. Those kids are eating up the trailers.
Yeah,
like, they're jacked. So I think the family
just don't get, like, I know that this movie is about uniting the Justice League and then they face Steppenwolf. But what is the story?
It's just so rushed.
I don't understand what the story is.
And a little insider tidbit. So I've been tracking various movies in this world director-wise, specifically Flashpoint. I've heard they've slowed that search down to see how this film does. Because I don't know if they're like giving everyone their own movie now. Aquaman's already shot, so we'll see.
Cyborg doesn't have a director or anything,
well,
right?
Well, obviously that's not happening anytime soon. Neither is Man of Steel 2. But
and the next one we may talk about.
But yeah, I've heard that, like, I keep asking them, they're like, let's see how this film does before you count before we go forward on those type of movies.
Zeno Aaron in the chat is saying that people are waiting for word of mouth / reviews to get excited. Now, I have to be honest, with things like this, where they're tentpole movies, you do have a lot of people who will get to see this, whether they're critics or journalists or whatever, and they will be so ball-bustingly desperate to get their name on that poster. I know many people in the industry who think that everything is fucking amazing, And it's not just Peter. There's, you know, other people who will do this. And anything will be, oh, my God, it's the comedy of the year. It's the comedy of the summer. If you only see one film, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. It's the best film with Superman and Wonder Woman in it since the last one.
Sure.
They literally find any way they can get something that would possibly... They're poster whores. They're quote mongers. That's what they do. So having good reviews or positive word of mouth isn't exactly the best guide, because some people are just doing it to get on a TV advert.
I agree. I also think with Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic now, you can sort out who's doing it. Like, there's just not enough.
Nobody can like everything.
I am curious about when that embargo's up, because the Thor Ragnarok thing was like 3 weeks
way,
in advance.
Yeah, way
and
early.
That's obvious, and Logan and stuff like that. But
my advice to people who actually bother to read reviews, which seems like fewer and fewer people these days, is to find someone who you mesh with. Like, you know, there's people who love every comic book movie. People who rag on every comic book movie, and then there's someone like me who I'd like to think is kind of judicious with my praise.
There is no right and wrong. It's personal taste. It's like pineapple on a pizza.
Right. And I don't claim to be a comic book movie expert.
No.
Speaking of box art, how much has it made so far? It's like $650 million.
Something like that.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
There's more news out of the DC universe.
Didn't see you on the poster.
More news out of the DC universe this week. Our pal Umberto broke the news that Gareth Evans is in talks to do a Deathstroke movie.
Early talks.
Hollywood Reporter confirmed it, backed it up. Obviously, Gareth Evans, 3 days before the report, had put on Instagram or whatever the Deathstroke comic. So it's legit. But is this movie really going to happen?
Don't dress for it just yet.
No, Fleming line.
No, I mean, I said something like Roberto's get, like, you know, as he should. It was a good scoop. He was right. Like, I would have went with that. It is early discussions. He
it was a good scoop.
It's a good, absolutely good scoop. I'm not busting. People were like, are you busting Roberto? No. I'm just saying Gareth has been at like the finish line a couple times on tentpole films and has just decided, like Gambit is a perfect example, and has just decided, I'm not, the studio and me are not on the same page, I'm out. That's why I'm not like saying this is 100% just yet, just because
Idea of Joe Manganiello topping any comic book movie, let alone a Deathstroke movie, where like, who the fuck is Deathstroke?
I mean, that's just the thing too, is if Gareth's doing this, I don't know if Joe's involved, because Gareth would want to make his own choice.
The thing is that new DC label, whatever they're going to call it, that's going to be making cheaper movies. Maybe that's where this falls in, Deathstroke.
Oh, the Joker's going to be a cheaper movie?
I don't know. I assume so.
I can tell you right now, from what I've heard, that will not be a cheaper movie. It's not going to be 100, like, what do you mean by cheaper? Like, Blumhouse style? Or you mean, like, less than $150 million?
Here's what I think if DC really wants all these, like, little weird movies like Deathstroke and a whole bunch of, like, Batgirl, whatever the hell it is, Nightwing... They should be looking at the Dark Tower. I know everyone says, whoa, 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 what do you mean looking at the Dark Tower? Dark Tower costs $50 to $65 million, right?
Yeah.
That, to me, is the sweet spot, and that's how you turn a profit with these kinds of movies.
They won't be able to do that. They can't do it.
But Dark Tower, I'm just saying, it had the feel of a much bigger movie than it actually was.
You could also argue that people are like... Well, if with more movie, we could have made that look better, and then so and so. Like,
it depends. I mean, it depends on how far they want to go back with the character. Because if you do it effectively as an origin story, kind of, and this is not a great example, but say like, you know, with the Punisher movies, like the Dolph Lundgren Punisher, and you know the Thomas Jane Punisher, and then you do it from that kind of
right. Those are what 25 million.
I just think the Joker origin thing is going to be like it's still going to be like $80 to $100 million movie. Though it's not, since it sounds awesome, I think it still covers. Excuse me. It's brand, but
listen, Gareth can make a movie look amazing for $5 million.
Yeah,
we've
sure.
seen, you know, those Raid movies are not expensive. So we know that he can pull off the action. I'm more interested in the psychology of the character. Is there any more comic book movie stuff, or can we...
I don't think so. Let's move on. Oh, no, Logan spinoff, X-23.
Okay.
Apparently James Mangold is working on that. I'm pretty excited to see that, and I think it's probably the only way that we will see Hugh Jackman come back as Wolverine in a flashback or something similar.
Oh, no, I hope that doesn't happen. I definitely hope that doesn't happen.
No, I would. His days is...
See, I'd be surprised if it didn't. So
and I would want that
spin-off. I'd be surprised if this film gets made.
I'd want that sooner than later because she's getting older.
The whole point is that kid, if they're going to do this, and Mangold isn't directing, he's like... It's like a James Mangold presents type thing where he puts his stamp on it. I mean,
God, that movie was so good. Logan really is still holding up there.
We're gonna get to Logan.
Okay.
Not the movie, like, but like it'll play into one of our topics later. Okay. But I think get it moving quickly. I'd like it, but I just think their focus over there now is like figuring out the Fantastic Four and just the properties that like have that main fit, like how they're gonna like who their main focus is finding the next Wolverine. That's what Fox needs to focus on. Let's get that straight.
Too bad Tom Hardy's Venom.
How they're gonna like exactly?
And Bernthal's the Punisher.
In my mind, they needed to go like they did with Hugh, and Hugh was a discovery when he became Wolverine in 1998. Why not do like Boyd Holbrook or something like that?
I'm sure you
that would make sense because he was
right. I'm sure you talked about this on the show already. But what did you think of the New Mutants teaser?
Really liked it.
Different. I really was like him. Kind of that'll surprised.
Cool. Horror movie with mutants in it.
I was like, cool. It, totally different than what I thought.
I like the yellow font and like how it looks like, you know, scratch.
Speaking of trailers,
Phantom Thread. Yeah. All right, Sam. What did you think? You kick us off.
What, with the trailer?
Yeah, what'd you think?
No, I really liked it. I sometimes find that ilk of movie. I'm instantly going, okay, I want to see that, or I'm going to wait. It really drew me in. I like the style. I love the pacing of the trailer.
Yes, and how
I think the tone is fucking beautiful. So I'm 100% on board. I mean, I just everything about it. I saw it was like, I really actually genuinely want to see that. It's a film I want to take my time with. I could see myself probably looking for a second screening quite after the first one.
I like the font with the lace.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's just beautiful. Daniel looks really good.
The way he looks physically with his eyes in the movie, it's just. It's spectacular face acting, which isn't kind of really a thing.
And like,
but it's remarkable.
There's like a secrecy to what's going behind the curtain and all that stuff. Yeah. Like, I'm all for it. It looks like Paul is like reeled it in a little bit from like inherent, like having to adapt inherent voice. This feels like There Will Be Blood, you know, Boogie Nights, like has that kind of like feel to it. And then, well, I mean, like,
he's the got a
like,
Phantom Thread's just like Boogie Nights.
Shining
star.
We've heard that there's a lot of erotic
stuff
in there.
So the Boogie Nights is not out of the question.
It does feel very sensual.
I really like that line where he's like, you know, as a boy, I sewed secrets into things, you know, things that I only knew were there. Yeah. I thought that was an interesting idea, and Vicky Creeps intrigues me. I wonder if she's gonna pop up.
With
the awards buzz.
But onto that, like, so, best actor.
So last night Justin and I saw Darkest Hour.
Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't make that.
It would have been nice to have you as a Brit. So that's Gary Oldman as Winston Churchill. He is definitely projected by most awards experts to win the Oscar this year. He seems to be the clear frontrunner. Justin, is the buzz deserved? Do you think he's vulnerable? Could Daniel overtake him?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we walked out. Me and Jeff had different opinions. I really liked it. I liked those films that where you get into the interpolitics. Like, I was a big West Wing guy, so watching people decide, because we obviously saw it's so a little backstory. The film focuses on like how Dunkirk. Like, we saw the Battle of Dunkirk. This was
right,
like
this is the decision making.
This is the decision making of Dunkirk and how they were. I mean, the movie didn't explain is how. That was the entire. I didn't realize that was all the army. Like, that was in that little spot. I thought there was other elements. Like, they were that close to just wiping out and just totally being defenseless. And, you know, kind of like this struggle Winston has with whether he should decide peace or, like, whether he should risk the destruction of his. I found it all very. It was enthralling. I was amazed how the pace. I thought it was going to be like The Crown, where it's super slow. That's the Netflix show where John Lithgow plays Winston Churchill. And they're both different tastes. And I found Oldman, he like totally fell into that performance. He's like unrecognizable. He's funny at times. He's like, I get Jeff mentioned, like, the speeches didn't like get to you as much.
Speeches didn't rouse me.
I didn't find the speeches arousing as much those moments in the room when he's like going after Thomas Delane, I think, the guy from Stannis Baratheon from Game of Thrones. That's like this guy who's kind of going after his chair. There's that back and forth. He has a great relationship with his assistant, by Lily James. But back to Oldman itself, I think he I know this new Academy thing that's going around, but I still think that if Oldman gets in, now there's the thing. There's been those years where like Ridley Scott mm-hmm. for The Martian, Ben Affleck for directing Argo, that they do, if you don't get nominated, that's the thing. So there's a possibility that people just don't like that these new voters don't see it and he somehow doesn't make it in. I don't see that chance. And I see once he gets in,
he's going to get his first nomination. It's just a matter of whether there's another contender that can really challenge him for the win.
Do you know what? I think that's a problem because this year, I don't think, and you touched on this in our email chain this week, I don't think there's been a huge amount of Oscar-worthy content
and
this year.
And I tweeted, we were having a conversation last night I said, Jeff, it's less about how great the performance is, because I don't think it's his best performance. Right. I think he's better in Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, or mm-hmm. even Air Force One or The Professional, like mm-hmm. going back today. But it's just
the competition.
There's a lackluster year. Like you're mentioning Daniel Day, the guy has 3 Oscars. Like, and that's an old Academy feel. I think if we're gonna go new Academy, mm-hmm. This is my Logan tie-in.
Give it to me.
If Hugh can somehow get a nomination, and I think it's a super uphill battle. Like if people are looking at Wonder Woman as the superhero film that gets in this year, this and that. But I've heard Greatest Showman is more of a commercial play, not an awards play, mm-hmm. especially in the performances. If Hugh can be like, you know what, let's try to go for this, and he gets into the mix. Like once you get nominated,
Fox just has so much shit.
But they also have shit that just possible. Like the Post
Apes, Greatest Showman, Orient Express.
But Logan has the pedigree.
Right.
If he can get in, he's easily the best actor. Even over Hanks for the Post. If he can get in there, I feel like given how he works the crowd, his colleagues love him. The Academy, I think, loves Tom, like Hugh Jackman, and the performance is great. I think it's Heath-esque in a way. Like mm-hmm. I don't think it's as good as Ledger. I think he is your new Academy vote if you're going to go for that. Like
it's
new
an
Academy.
Interesting it like theory. The I haven't heard that.
I keep talking about
Simon. What's the best male performance you've seen this year?
Fuck, I
is it Jake?
No. Yeah, I loved him in Stronger. I also really loved Willem Dafoe in Florida Project.
I think he's supporting in that.
Yeah, I think he goes
supporting. And I hear Hanks is going to be supporting too.
I do too, actually.
I mean, I was thinking about this. I was trying to draw up a top 10, and I know kind of the top, you know, couple of movies that I'm going to have in it, but mm-hmm. it's actually quite difficult to pull
so hard.
A top 10 this year. And you were talking about Hanks. Now, I was amazed that last year he didn't get, or the film generally didn't get more nominations. Sully.
Yeah.
So I think this year, potentially they could make up for that.
So,
and it's going to be a very political year this year, I think, perhaps more so.
If the Emmys taught us anything, these voters very much want to award people where it can be an FU to the current administration.
Yeah.
And I feel that's what the Post is going to be. I think Meryl is almost just a lock. If she's even decent in that movie, after what happened at the Globes this year where Trump attacked her, given the political climate and what this film is being created for in the first place, and given who she is, is there even an actress that's really
a good year for best actress.
Frances McDormand, I think.
Great.
Is pretty good. She's also won for Fargo, so like there's no reason to award her like Oldman in a way. But I just think it's Streep. That's the Streep one. But from an actor standpoint and a film standpoint, I just don't think there's nothing came out of the festivals that was like La La Land just came out and just crushed, where Moonlight had all this momentum. There's
It's a wide open race this year in Best
Sundance
Picture,
films,
Simon.
No Cannes films. None of these, like in years when usually festivals drive that, mm-hmm. it was just one disappointment after the other. I mean, think about it, downsizing.
But even a couple of months ago, people were talking about Wonder Woman. It was like, was that a Best Picture nominee?
You laughed it off. I think it's possible.
I'd be very surprised.
I'll tell you.
This is the year that the Emoji movie is probably going to be nominated for animated.
Less so on Wonder Woman and more so on Get Out. A few months ago, I would have laughed off as a Best Picture nominee. Nope. And now I think it is actually going to get in.
These four films right now, Get Out, Logan, Wonder Woman, Dunkirk. I think Dunkirk's in.
Could very well win Best Director.
Dunkirk maybe actually be our front runner right now because it hasn't lost steam where all these other films have. Those four films that are considered commercial tentpoles and never awards plays now have a chance. I think Get Out is a big chance, and I've come around on Wonder Woman, and very much on Patty Jenkins getting a draft.
Do you know a film I think probably won't, but I'd really love. I think it's probably going to do really well at the Spirits, but I don't know whether it would get Oscar nominations. But I think there are a number of people in there that could do, whether it's script or whether it's performance. Is The Big Sick? because Holly Hunter, Ray Romano, both excellent in that. Yep. As were two lead cast, it was brilliantly written.
Yep.
I could see potentially five, potentially six nominations coming out of the big six.
Honestly, I'm fucking pumped for the Globes.
It's one of my favorite films of the year.
I'm pumped for the Globes. I think Kumail will be nominated. Yeah. I think James Franco will be nominated. Yeah, yeah. Like, I think it's going to be a cool Globes year.
I think the Big Six is the most overrated film of the year, but I think it's going to it could be in the nomination play.
I do want to see it again before.
Hands down. I'm looking at you, camera. Big Six, overrated film of the year.
I loved it. It's a good movie.
But by the time I saw it, I thought it was going to be like Annie Hall.
There's a few more topics I want to hit upon, but let's get to box office.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, we had to cut the Oscar stuff short, but we have months and months to talk about the Oscars.
Some of the films haven't even fucking come out yet. So
Let's go to the box office. What happened last night, Simon?
Okay, Jigsaw on previews Thursday, 1.6 million, looking at a weekend of 18 to 22. Now, I did a piece for Forbes this week on the opening weekends for all of the Saw movies and where this would fit into this. This is kind of mid-table. Really, for the Saw franchise, no real surprise there. 1.6 million. Suburbicon didn't have previews last night. Looking at a weekend of five to seven million.
What?
That's five to seven million
for Matt Damon,
which is such a shame. I saw that a couple of weeks ago. I did the junket in the premiere this week.
Did you like it, or you think it was a mess like I did?
No, I really enjoyed it.
I didn't hate it. I felt. Go ahead, real fast.
Yeah, no, I really liked it. I liked the tone. I liked that it was nice and dark. I thought I loved the humor, the Coen brothers' humor coming through on that. I thought the African American family, they really needed to do more than that. That shouldn't have been in the movie.
That was classic George.
I see why it was in there, but they could have done more with that, which they just didn't do.
The Damon, that storyline was perfectly fine. Also, in terms of the humor, I thought George rewrote it and his humor sucked. Like, he was trying to do Coen Brothers Home and it wasn't as funny. Yes. There are elements that work, like the lineup scene where the kid realizes that. I thought there are scenes that are shot well. Oscar Isaac needed to be in it more. He was awesome in it.
He definitely gave the movie a lift. He definitely comes alive when he shows up.
That was the Coen-esque part, the most Coen part.
Well, I'm amazed that he hasn't been doing publicity for it because he was a high point for me.
I can't say too much. I have heard. So he's he's above the line. George.
Right.
He didn't want that, from my understanding. He's like, I'm barely in this. Why am I the kid should have the third line, or it should just be George and Julianne.
The kid was good.
I actually like the two mobsters. The Yellow King.
And his partner,
the skinny guy.
Yeah.
Oh, and the uncle, what's his name?
The uncle was good.
Needed more of him.
So then obviously there's a thank you for your service. That's going to be below Suburbicon. They're looking at about five for
poor
that.
Poor Miles.
Yeah. So really the top is looking like Jigsaw's probably going to be up there. Third place is going to be battling for Geostorm, Happy Death Day, Suburbicon, and thank you for your service. And even then we're looking at sort of 5 to maybe 8 million, which is not good for a second, third battle.
Two words.
Yeah.
Stranger Things, folks.
Yeah.
Sit on your couch all day Saturday.
Did you guys watch last night?
No. I watched the first
one. I watched the first one last night.
I stayed up.
I got home from Jigsaw and I was like, Stephanie,
what is Jigsaw like?
Okay, so I saw Jigsaw last night. It delivers, you know, if you're going to the movie on opening night, it delivers what you're looking for. There were a lot of scenes where I was squirming. But then, you know, you get to that last 15 minutes where everything, like, comes out and they tell you, like, what was actually happening the whole time. So convoluted. This series loves to play the dual time track thing where you think things are happening at the same time, but it's actually this is happening way before this other part. It's like
the original Saw.
So infuriating.
Where do you put the original Saw on your
I love the original Saw. I think the original Saw is a masterpiece.
Yep.
A masterpiece.
New.
Yep. acting aside, because the acting is some of the worst acting I've ever seen in a motion picture between Cary Elwes and the writer Lee Whannell, I think I loved the original Saw. My jaw was on the floor.
Yeah.
Me too. Now, I like the that ending when our boy gets up.
Spoiler.
He's been like that. If you haven't seen
Saw, fuck
off. But Miles. Let's real quick. I was shocked. Only the Brave had decent reviews, and to see how that film, I think it was like 5 million. Such a. And then this film's going to get. It's
not a good month for our boy Miles. And he's such a good actor.
Movies. Those are good movies, and he's trying to do other things. Yep. He did his Fantastic Four thing, he got away from it. That's a fucking bummer. So Miles, keep fighting, man. That's
he's all these movies are good. Bleed for this. War Dogs, right?
War Dogs. Yeah. I liked the awkward moment. I like that movie. Will go down as
Two Night Stand.
Yeah.
They got to find him a real hit. He needs I'd like to see him in like a legal drama, like McConaughey in A Time to Kill, make Miles as a young lawyer,
like John Grisham, like the associate or something like that. I was just gonna ask, since it's Halloween weekend, is there name two films that you go to or your go to on your Halloween weekend?
I'm gonna let Simon field this first.
Okay.
How about an unoriginal one and a classic one? Give me the classic one and the one that people would expect.
Do you want one that respects, or do you want one that I love?
Well, a Sacred Deer. The Killing of a Sacred Deer, I think, is a new horror film, but it's not like a Halloween type. So,
okay.
An older one, a newer one.
I would, for a classic, I would probably... I'm a big fan of either Halloween 2 or...
I like that.
Chopping Mall.
Chopping Mall.
Which I fucking love.
Okay, I like
it's
that.
Terrible, but I do love that. And then something new. I highly recommend, if you haven't seen it, Gerard's Game. On Netflix.
Game, yeah.
Really, really good.
That should that skeeved me out, that one scene. You?
The Fly is my...
Like the Goldblum one?
The Goldblum one, yeah. It's just Shakespearean and just gross and like that music and crisis and just... Goldblum's look, and this like that line where he's like, "If you stay, I'll hurt you," is just still one of the creepiest lines ever. And then it's not necessarily new, but the one to me this day, it's the most screwed up movies. Like it will give you nightmare for weeks. The Hills Have Eyes remake,
is
one of the better ones,
bar none. One of the more freakier things ever. That trailer sequence for 10 minutes, it's just ugh. Chilling.
I'll give a shout out to my old man. I'll go with Candyman.
Ooh, yeah.
I love Candyman. Wow. It's a classier movie than you might remember with a Philip Glass score. Mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous score. And then for the newer one, if you have not seen Raw yet, the cannibal movie that came out earlier this year.
I've actually downloaded that. I'm watching that on a Raw's flight to brilliant. Denver tonight.
If I was back, you see a lot of the same female director names on all these lists, and it's like Jennifer Kent, the Babadook. Now, if I had to get behind one female director on the genre side, it would be Julia DeCorno. I thought she did a fucking amazing job with Raw. Happy Halloween, everybody. Do you guys have costumes picked out?
I'm going as Eminem from the freestyle thing at our Halloween.
Figured you were going to go as Blade Runner, as K, which I still haven't seen.
What?
I may go tomorrow. Because it's going to be out of theaters soon.
Yeah, I was ordering the jacket for that, and it just never came, so I had to go for a backup. So.
Simon?
I don't dress up for Halloween.
He's Jason Statham.
And I'm going as Simon.
Jason Statham.
Did you guys watch Mindhunter?
Not yet.
I have not had
that'll
the chance.
That'll be like a Thanksgiving binge for me. So I heard it's a long burn, but I definitely am going to give it a try.
Brilliant. Do we have any additional time on today's episode in the booth?
If we do, we can run through a couple of final little bits.
I know that I wanted to get to the Morgan Creek thing. I just want to make sure we have the time. All right.
Yes.
So Morgan Creek announced they're basically going to try to exploit their library, which includes Young Guns, Major League.
Yep.
There was one title that was missing, but Simon, what did you think of that announcement?
Interesting. I think some of them could do with either a remake or a reboot. I think some of them I really don't like the idea of. I mean, Pacific Heights is on the list.
That was an interesting one that I saw in there.
Love Pacific Heights.
Mm-hmm.
I think if it was redone now, it could potentially be absolutely horrible.
Yep.
So
Airbnb though, like something like that.
Yeah, but they tried that with a terrible one they did with it was Scarlett Johansson and someone where it was like the neighbor or whatever. It was a terrible Hammer one they did a couple of years ago, and it was The Tenant. It was terrible. So I don't really want that. Major League, I think, could be really interesting.
Young Guns would be.
Young Guns, I'd really like.
Who would you guys cast as Ricky Vaughn? Wild Thing Vaughn.
Miles?
I was thinking Miles Teller.
Not bad.
I did a fun thing on Ferrara's podcast where we cast the 84 Mets, and I think I had Miles as one of the guys in that.
That's I actually like that. It's not bad.
You know who Tom Bergeron? McConaughey.
Oh. Do you know the guy who was using the voodoo? Mahershala Ali.
Oh yeah, that's President Palmer.
That's he's Bert.
So
great cast. Well, the Wesley Snipes, I would probably.
Here's the thing: Major League is so fucking great. Young Guns is so good.
Kevin Hart being great in everything.
Those two movies are so good, Young Guns and Major League. It's going to be tough to improve upon them. There's one movie in Morgan Creek's library that was not part of the announcement yesterday that is one of... I love it, but it can easily be improved upon. Is The Crush. That's the only reason I've called Morgan Creek for the last decade, is what's going on with The Crush.
Never seen it.
Really?
It's an awesome movie.
That's a good movie to watch this weekend, dude. With Alicia. It doesn't get any better than that as far as the young Lolita.
Fear's a good one. I like Fear.
Yeah. If you like Fear, you'll love The Crush, dude.
Would that be sort of permissible now with the whole Lolita aspect of it? Crazy.
So this is one thing I wanted to talk about with the Weinstein thing. So, like, my roommate is trying to, like, he's shopping around a sex comedy right now, and it's very raunchy. I don't know how you make a movie like American Pie, a movie where, like, guys are trying to trick women into sleeping with them or things like that. I think the only way you can do a sex comedy these days, at least for the moment, is to make the women the aggressors, with Blockers, this movie with Leslie Mann and John Cena coming up, where it's the girls, it's the daughters who are trying to lose their virginity.
I thought that was called The Pack.
It was The Pack. Now it's called Blockers.
We're already kind of seeing it. This was on the TV end, but in the last week, I've been following this because it's been very intriguing, and I think it's timely, obviously, was Barstool Sports and ESPN teamed on a TV show.
I was furious about that.
Fucking so mad. This thing, Barstool Van Talk, it's based on this excellent podcast you all should try, Pardon My Take, with Dan, Big Cat Katz, and BFT Commenter. And it was pretty much just like fun interviews and all that stuff. But Barstool Sports has it's Howard Stern in a blog form, and they're non-PC, raunchy.
ESPN knew who they were hiring.
But exactly.
And they deliver the show that they promised.
And a couple female anchors who had been in fights raised their voice, and the show was canceled after one episode.
Right.
And to me, that clearly showed that John Skipper didn't care about what the people who were against
Skipper's a mess.
He just made a bottom line investor decision, and as soon as two people raised their hand.
Right.
But that's the thing right now that we're into, is this atmosphere is going to affect a lot of decisions on good things that don't have any harmful means. That's the problem. And that's what scares me a little bit. It's like, we're going to lose, like, there's going to be some good ideas that get thrown out because of the political or the climate that we're in.
But also, quite rightly, I mean, I caught a film that I'd never seen before. I always saw it in the video store growing up, a movie called Angel, which was about a girl who's like 14 or 15, who was a schoolgirl by day and a prostitute cop. Like, you know, hunting down guys who are killing women on Hollywood. She was 14 or 15. She did like two or three sequels. 14 or 15 years old. I'm like, how did a film get made where there's a girl who's 14 or 15 who is in school in the day and then out being a prostitute at night?
I'm like, how?
The thing is,
those movies don't get made anymore because of, but like, I think that in writers' rooms and there'll be a change of climate in all sorts of things with this stuff. So,
I'm just saying, you throw Bella Thorne in a remake of The Crush, I'm there.
I'm not there. I don't want to see that in a movie theater because I know it's going to be full of sort of really creepy guys. It's like the time I saw The Secretary in London, there was a guy jacking off in like a regular movie theater watching The Secretary.
Yeah, I felt pretty dirty watching.
It was me.
I thought of that, so.
I was like, oh.
Anything else? I mean, just Justin Lin coming back to direct Fast and Furious 9. Is that a surprise to you guys at all?
Not really.
It was surprised how underwhelming the announcement was. Like,
yeah, very weird.
This. And then all of a sudden, I saw Jordana Brewster coming back as well.
I get the feeling that has to do again with the whole Hobbs, like the backlash.
Yeah.
I wish we could have been talking about that when all this Tyree stuff was going on.
Oh, man.
Just a joke. Joke.
Listen, every movie that comes out is a miracle in some way. But the Fast and Furious movies seem to be really special miracles from what I've heard about all the infighting on set and that kind of stuff. I mean, the movies make money, so who gives a shit? But I'm not surprised that they went back
and they will
to
keep
a familiar
those movies,
a familiar face who's in the family, Justin Lin, someone who they can trust. Because from what I was told, there was no way Gary Gray was coming back. And that movie made $1 billion. How come he doesn't have another movie with Universal? How come Universal isn't like keeping this guy
in
the fold?
Well, Justin, they did. They had the Bourne thing with him, and that blew up in his face because Paul Greengrass came back. And
with F. Gary Gray?
I thought you were talking about Justin Lin. I'm sorry.
No, I did a quick switch.
Who knows what the deal is with F. Gary Gray? I mean,
I'm just saying he did Compton for them, big hit. He did Fast 8, big billion-dollar movie for them. Where's his next movie
for
them?
The Jungle Cruise movie with Dwayne. You think that would have been a shoe-in given, like, how...
I'm telling you, shit went down on that Fast 8 set. But Justin Lin coming back to do 9, and Jordana Brewster will be back after sitting out 8 as well. Hey, I love Jordana.
I love Jordana, but that was that. And by the way, this Bad Boys spinoff on TV with Gabrielle Union.
Not Bad Boys.
Where's Martin Lawrence? He has no work right now. Why isn't Martin Lawrence and Gabrielle Union like teaming up? That would be awesome.
Brother, sister.
But like, how can you have a Bad Boys spinoff with...
Led by Gabrielle Union.
She's not. It's not even like Robin Givens was the white. Like there's other like Tia Leone. Like get them.
They're all available.
Gabrielle Union doesn't need that.
Bad Boys
shit.
From Bad Boys Give 2. I know that was funny.
They could have got married, Mina Gio. Bad Boys for wife.
Yeah.
I love Jordana Brewster so.
Yeah.
Anything else on your list, Simon?
Very quickly, last night there was a screening of Shaun of the Dead at the Greek Theatre. A number of the cast and obviously the director, Edgar Wright, turned up. Also turns out this week that Simon Pegg apparently pitched a sequel to Shaun of the Dead to Edgar Wright, but involving vampires. I actually quite like the idea of that, but I don't really want a sequel to Shaun of the Dead. Because I love that movie.
Unpopular opinion alert. I don't love it.
Really?
I think it's his worst movie.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's blasphemy.
Yeah.
I disagree.
He's made worse movies. I just think at this point, Edgar's moving on to bigger and better things after Baby Driver.
Yeah, it'll never happen. Never happen now.
There's a sequel in the works, it's Baby Driver. He would rather, I think, it's high on his list.
I thought that Warner Brothers announced me yesterday about Survive the Night that was on THR, but a music-driven horror thriller.
The Pharrell Williams thing?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. I think that is, you're going to see, that's the Baby Driver effect. More music-driven movies that integrate that. It's a key part of the plot.
I'm up for that.
50 Shades of Grey has worked for that.
Oh, all right. So I think that'll do it for the show this week.
Yeah.
Justin, where can folks find you?
I'm on Twitter at KrollJVar, or just go to Variety.com and I'm all over that site.
Simon?
You can find me on social media at Twitter and Instagram at ShowbizSimon, and I have a Facebook page, This is Simon Thompson. And check out some of the pieces I've written this week on Forbes as well. A couple of interesting things, including McDowell's coming to Hollywood from Coming to America.
Oh, the restaurant, pop-up restaurant.
Fat Sal's in Hollywood.
Zamunda Fries.
Yes.
And I'm Jeff Snyder, editor-in-chief of the Tracking Board, tracking-board.com. Lots of cool, exciting stuff coming to that site soon. Popcorn Talk Network, make sure to rate, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff.
And tell everybody if you like it.
Yes.
Be safe this weekend, guys.
Yeah, enjoy Stranger Things.
Don't shit your pants.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Meet the Movie Press. Roundtable movie news and commentary from the industry's premier film journalists. Visit PopcornTalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principal. From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit PopcornTalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.